Welcome back, everyone, to Aspire to Lead, where we will be discussing the visions, inspirations, and experiences from top educational leaders. My name is Joshua Stamper, and you can connect with me on Twitter or on Instagram at Joshua_Stamper.
All right, welcome back, Aspire Leaders and Teach Better Family. I'm so excited because I have a phenomenal guest who's been on a couple times already on Aspire to Lead, and you probably noticed the name because he's got a best-selling book out right now, and I'm holding up for the camera, Executive Functioning for Every Classroom. Super excited for you, Mitch, and I just want to let everyone know that this will be a monthly thing. So our monthly episode with Mitch will be each month, and so this should be no surprise for those who are consistently listening, because I promised that in 2024 I was going to have more content for the listeners, and I really want to bring on folks that, well, one, I'm connected with, you know, on a personal level that I tap into all the time. And Mitch, for those who don't know, is someone that I speak to regularly and find great wisdom and insight from. And so I definitely want the audience to be able to share in that also. So with that, Mitch, congratulations on a phenomenal book launch, and then also for, you know, being on the Aspire to Lead episodes each month.
Thank you very much, man. I'm glad to be here. Always enjoy the conversation with you. And I didn't know this was my third time, but this is number three already. Wow.
I know. Privilege. It's crazy how it happens like that. That's how I got with Jeff Gargis. You know, we started doing Aspire Mailbag, and then like now we're on like episode 30. And every time I'm surprised and going, why on earth are we still doing this? But
we'll get to 30. I'm excited.
Yeah, we'll get to 30. Yeah. But it gives us an opportunity to not only hang out, but then also to share some phenomenal things. So this conversation, this episode, I really want to do a check-in with you, Mitch, just as our first one, just to say, hey, what is going on with the book? But then also I heard some exciting news that schools are now doing a book study on this phenomenal resource.
Yeah, man, it's been a wild month. Been a crazy 2 years just in the making, and then you've had this experience with your first book, and soon, just so you know, we'll talk about that maybe next episode, another book coming up. But this idea of, you know, okay, I want to write this, or I've committed to writing it, maybe is another way to say it. I signed with Corwin and kind of went okay, but it, you know, and it put these deadlines on the calendar, which were actually really helpful for me. But then all of a sudden it's here, and then you start getting selfies from people you don't know holding your book, you know, all around the country or in other parts of the world even, which is all just like, of course, super fun, but humbling. And yet an interesting books. This is my first book. And for many years, people who might hear me speak or sit through a training would, You got to write this down. And I was always like, I don't want to write this down. I want to work with teachers. I want to keep, this is the fun stuff. You know, I love this. It's making a difference. It's just a really interesting vehicle to spread the message. And for me, it's really based on these strategies for teaching executive functions, and to see that it's bringing, you know, smiles and value to educators everywhere is, it's just humbling and super fun, and a fun creative challenge too. Like, how do you get the word out and continue to get the word out in a very authentic and meaningful way, as opposed to some cheesy salesy approach that nobody in education wants to hear, right? And the one of those, you know, I guess opportunities you might call it, or you know, things that have evolved is this idea of book studies. With districts that, or even we have a fun one happening at a county level with, again, people I don't know. Some are schools and districts that work with Organized Binder, and they're using it as a spring or summer read. And then we're scheduling live follow-ups. One that actually we just scheduled for Arizona, which will be live in person. I'm going to travel to Arizona. I'm based in California. And we're going to do the book study, and the check-in will be 3 hours together, which will just be really fun, you know? Most of them were doing it via Zoom just to make it easier on the district or the school. Those are, again, fun things that I didn't necessarily anticipate. So
let's talk about this, because I've experienced this too with Aspire to Lead. Is like, folks will either tweet out something about the book, or they'll have some response about what was written. And then sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, I did write about that. Did I write that? I have to go back and kind of look at what was written, because the process is so long that sometimes, you know, by the time it goes to publish, it gets in folks' hands, it's very, there's a lot of time in between when it was written to when,
right.
You know, it's actually in the hands of educators, you know, throughout the country and around the world. So I'm curious if you've had that happen, and what were some things that maybe surprised you as far as the response from educators that are reading it?
Yeah. Even in the last month, I've had that happen. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good. I write that? I mean, I believe it. I hear it. And I'm like, I didn't say that. I'm proud of myself right now. Yeah. The first one came from a good friend, Becky Carlson. She's in the UK. She has an organization that's phenomenal. Check it out, everybody, called Learning Pioneers. And it's literally a global community of teachers. It's very teacher focused. And one thing that I say in the book is that I refer to a classroom as a learning community a lot, because I really believe that, as opposed to this is a class. No, this is a community. Let's approach this that way. And a community, a learning community, is the sum of all of its parts. And if one of those parts is absent or truant, routinely absent, like, that influences the community. And so I always, one of the stories I tell in the book is, you know, even if I, let's just be honest, there are some days if a certain student might be absent, you're like, I'm not going to have to manage this and this and this, right? We've probably all had that experience. But I made a point that every time any student was absent, I was a teacher, always stood at the door, you know, saying hi, high-fiving kids. But I'd make a point to say, like, we missed you. Like,
yeah.
I noticed that you weren't here, and we all did. It's not the same when you're not here. And she applied that to their global community. And it's really kind of had a profound impact. That's one that stood out. And then, you know, what's interesting, and you know, the book getting into the hands of non-educators or homeschool parents,
yeah,
or grandparents, I've been hearing from people, and they're not talking about like how this is helping my kid. They're like, this goal setting is really helping me. I never thought about breaking it down this way. So I actually have this tangible daily task I can do. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's been a number of those coming through where I'm like, oh yeah, that does work. That's right. I came up with that. I'm proud of myself. So,
well, you should. It's a phenomenal resource. Obviously, it's something that, you know, I've written about, I've shared on social media, and I'll continue to do so until people get tired of it. But
for the backstory, everybody, I deeply respect Josh, and he got behind me way early on and helped me through this process, in addition to pre-reading the book. And we're all very busy. Imagine just saying, hey, do you have some time in the next 2 or 3 weeks to read a draft copy and send me an endorsement? And he did. So grateful for you, my friend. That meant the world to me.
I don't do that for everyone, Mitch, but
I definitely
did for you, because I believe in what you do. That's why I love having you on the podcast. I'm thinking, and maybe this vision will change, but just to have you on, you know, talking about different things, different strategies that you believe in and are passionate. And one of those, you know, I love the subtitle of your book, which is Creating Safe and Predictable Learning Environments. So I'm wondering if maybe, you know, with the short time that we have together, if given a couple nuggets for those who are trying to create that, you know, learning environment. You touched on it a little bit already with, you know, having that communal space. And I love the idea of, you know, when a student's absent, just making note of that verbally and stating like, you are an important piece to this classroom and you were missed. I can't imagine any human being that would think poorly on that comment. I think that would make anyone feel phenomenal and would want them to be back in that space where they are valued and feel like they belong. So I think that component in itself does help create a wonderful community and probably the safety to that too. But I didn't know if there's additional nuggets that you may provide, you know, during our bonus episode today.
Yeah, definitely more to it. Let's be clear that I think that's very important and has a profound human. I mean, when you boil everything down in education, this is my belief. At its base, at its root, it's human to human endeavor. It's just humans interacting. And humans want to belong. We want to have a community. We want to have a tribe. We want to have a place where we're missed. And for students that don't experience that outside of school routinely, to feel that way, even when you're maybe being a little stinker and maybe you're dysregulated and maybe the language of your behavior is hard to manage at times in a classroom setting, you still want to be missed.
Yeah.
And when someone really communicates that, it actually can help reduce management issues. And not to say all of this is about students who are displaying off task or behavior that's challenging to manage. So I do believe in that, like being seen, being cared for. And a lot through the book, I weave ways and strategies for taking that steps further. But let's be also clear that that's not the end all be all.
Yep.
That's important. But if your classroom environment, your school environment is chaotic, it's not going to be feeling safe. So what the premise that I bring in the book, kind of the thesis, is that it's really about environment. And that's why, you know, what I teach is not a curriculum. It's not something that a content or a lesson that teachers have to deliver or be experts at. Yeah. Because the truth is we're hired to teach content, either grade level or subject area content. And we don't have enough time to do that in the first place. So even if it's this wonderful content and curriculum that I want my students to become more efficient with and, you know, develop these executive functions, it won't work primarily because I have this time crunch and it may not be kind of my zone of genius. So where I come in with the book, with the thesis, is really saying the more predictable a learning environment, the safer it's going to feel. And that's also true of students whose lives outside of school, maybe 10, are not predictable, maybe skew yep. towards chaotic, right? And so if I can consistently shape that environment to feel safer. And I believe that this is kind of how I roll with it, is by establishing a predictable learning routine, ideally shared with your colleagues, that whole collective teacher efficacy thing. Maybe we'll talk about that next time.
Sure.
But even the individual teacher, if I establish this routine and I stick to it, it's just more predictable. And all I mean by that is how we begin, how we transition, maybe where we put our stuff, how we conclude, like that rhythm, what the Waldorf community calls the routine and rhythm of the day. It's just predictable to the point where I don't even have to think about it. I just know that this is what I need to do. I can be held, and I spend a lot of time on this book. Now I have the opportunity to hold you accountable for engaging in that routine. There's practice with self-regulation. Do I engage? Do I not? There's all kinds of things that are happening, but the more predictable the learning environment, the safer it feels. And if by virtue, this is the thesis of the whole book now, I would say, if by virtue of participating in that daily routine, I get practice with these executive functioning skills and I see them modeled because the teacher has a class sample, it starts to become like this win-win-win-win-win scenario because students are wanting to be there. Yep. They're feeling cared for and valued. It feels safer. And let's all remember, Josh, that inherent to learning is risk-taking and failure. That's just part of the deal. You're going to try it and you're going to not get it. The safer I feel, the more likely I am to take those risks inherent to learning. And if I'm not feeling safe and I'm in low level or higher level fight or flight, like I live outside, you know, I'm not going to engage and take those risks. I'm not going to be vulnerable. We all know that. And I'm more likely to display behaviors that might be harder to engage or manage. So that's what I'm talking about.
I know it's difficult to ask you to scale it down. And that's why I'm excited about our conversations moving forward, is because there's a lot of content that's rich in this book, but then also things that you speak about, that you give webinars on, that Organized Binder also facilitates and helps with school districts.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. You can find out more at teachbetter.com/podcasts. Now let's get back to the episode.
For those who are wanting to learn more about this topic and what Mitch does, and of course the book too, definitely reach out to Mitch, but you can go to organizedbinder.com. You can find a lot of very useful information there on this topic. And of course, we're going to dive a little bit deeper as we go on. But just as far as our intro, I wanted to at least put our foot in the water, if you will, on the thesis behind the book and get an understanding of executive functioning in the classroom. And of course, establishing a safe and predictable environment, which is so key. As Mitch has touched on, it's, you know, a lot of our kids are coming in with some really adverse situations that they've lived through. And we have a mixed bag of what kids are bringing to the table when they're coming to learn. And so, yes, if we're just only looking at the objectives and the standards and the subject matter, that's one thing. But as we all know, classroom management is such an important piece to that. And teaching executive functioning and future ready skills is that other component that we really need to focus on. So super excited, Mitch, about expanding on this topic. And
yeah, a lot more to say. There's a lot
Have an excuse to come on monthly with Mitch to, like I said, get more knowledge in this area and to pick his brain. And then I want to just let everyone know that you can connect with Mitch and get his information at joshtimber.com. I'll have that in the show notes. And those who are watching on YouTube, you got to see Mitch's phenomenal cover that he pretty much created himself.
Corwin cleaned it up a little bit.
You got to see that book. I'll throw it up on the screen one more time for everyone. Yeah, kudos to you, Mitch.
It's on Amazon now, too.
Yes,
so that's the easiest way to get it, probably.
Once you grab it, throw in a rating and review for Mitch, too, and let folks know how amazing the book is.
If you're hardcore and want a signed copy, you can buy it through organizedbinder.com.
Perfect.
I get the ease of Amazon, everybody. So
it comes the next day. So sometimes the idea of that wins out. But
it's appealing.
So those who are listening to, I'm going to have an announcement here on social media with the wonderful Charlie Peck. I know we kind of hinted at that, but we'll probably talk a little bit more about that too, Mitch, the next time that we meet up. But some exciting news coming out soon. So I just want to make sure everyone's checking out my social media outlets, Joshua_Stamper on Instagram and Twitter/X, whatever you want to call it. We'll definitely be throwing that out.
Tune in, everybody. You're gonna want to hear this announcement.
So I've hinted and talked about it a little bit in the past, but we'll definitely have a formal announcement here soon. With that, Mitch, I'm so excited for you. Proud of the work that you're doing, and your time again today. But man, I'm so excited about the future of 2024 as we have our monthly time with Mitch.
Me too. Thanks, man.